29th, 2012. Happy birthday if it's your birthday today. You're like, you're only 10 years old if you're 100 or something like that. Anyway, I want to tell you that I was listening to Drive Through HR this week. They're on every day at 1 o'clock. Not always live, but usually. And they had a girl on who said she wants her people. She's a recruiter, but she was talking about HR. I think she maybe has some senior HR role as well. Anyway, she said she wants her people to be diverse, but not too diverse, because she doin't want them running off in all directions, and she wants them to be able to collaborate. And I thought that was kind of interesting. By the way, she wasn't talking about racial or ethnic diversity. I don't want to get into any trouble. Let's just take that right off the table. She was talking about intellectual diversity. And what I thought that she said was very interesting was that she admitted that despite what people say, diversity is not an absolute good. And when you're hiring someone, it's not the most important thing. And I want you to think about this, because aren't people always telling you to make sure the candidate fits into your culture? And that means you want your staff to be just like you. And that doesn't sound very diverse to me. On the one hand, diversity, it's the greatest thing in the world. On the other hand, they want you to be like them. And we know which is most important. I read a couple of articles in the Wall Street Journal this week, and they said it's hard to have a good marriage when the people involved are very different. And they gave some examples. In one couple, the husband was an extrovert, and he loved going to parties. But his wife, she was an introvert, and she didn't mind going to parties, but she didn't want to stay more than an hour. And they didn't realize that each person was just a different kind of person. Each one of them thought that something was wrong with the other guy, and they didn't like each other. So the marriage counselor explained that one of them is a square peg and the other is a round hole, and now they sorted out all their problems. They go to parties in separate cars so she can leave early. And there was another couple as well. There was a husband who was very touchy. He liked to hug and kiss. His wife didn't like that. She said she expressed her closeness by arranging family get-togethers, like picnics and meetings with his family. So anyway, the husband thought the wife was cold. She thought he was smothering her. But the marriage counselor, he solved their problem. He explained that they were merely diverse. And the solution to their problem was for her to force herself to hug her husband. Sorry, it's hilarious. She had to force herself to hug him once a day, and he had to promise not to ask for any more than that. That doesn't make diversity sound very good. And, you know, some people are pretty frank about it. I read an article by Chris Dunn this morning, and he said that collaboration kills innovation. If you have to work with other people, you're screwed. And if you want to really be diverse, you have to work on your own, or you have to collaborate like Steve Jobs collaborates, if you know what that means. And anyway, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry! Shannon Russo, are you here?
I am here.
Great. You sound great. I can hear you, and I spoke to you this morning for a few minutes. I know you've got a good projection, so let's get going. Jerry's busy with commerce. I'm keeping all the mics. Actually, Mike Astringer warned me before the show. I told you that he might be very aggressive today and that I might have to mute him, but I'm going to mute him right now. I'm going to find out what you do, and then I'm going to open the gates, and if someone wants to fight with you, that's fine, because in this show, we come to the truth through aggression. We fight with each other and present opposite points of view in a very passionate manner. Passion is good, just like diversity and collaboration are good, right? And
yeah.
So we're very passionate here, hopefully, if it's not going to be boring today. And he'll debate with you about whatever. He'll probably tell you you're, you know, nice looking in the end, like he usually does, and you go away, kiss, kissy. Anyway, your website says that you're a CEO who doesn't – first of all, let's say you're at Kinetics HR, right?
That's
correct. K-I-N-E-T-I-X-H-R on Twitter. And your kineticshr.com, is that your website?
That is, yep.
Okay, and you're the boss there. You're the CEO. And your website says, and your website is wild, I have to tell you, it says that you're a CEO who doesn't sleep. How much sleep do you get a night?
Oh, not as much as I would like to.
How much sleep do you get?
I'm going to say 7 hours, 6 or 7.
That's a lot. I never get 7 hours.
Yeah.
It also says on your website that Kimberly Vaughn, was she your VP of staffing?
No. She
What's
does
her title?
Routine search.
Okay. It says she's over the top. Is that good?
It depends. Can be. She's passionate.
Come on,
you
don't
just said you're like
passionate with me. Give me an answer. It's on your website. It says she's over the top. Is that good or bad?
I think it's good. Passion.
What does it mean?
And over the top can be considered the same thing sometimes.
What does it mean? What does it mean? Come on.
What does passion mean?
No, over the top. It says she's over the top.
She is. She's
What
intense.
Does it mean?
She's passionate about
what?
It. She digs
oh,
into
she's
stuff.
Passionate. She's overly passionate. She's like that husband who wants to kiss an hog. You better not put her on a team with people who don't like to be touched, okay?
I will have to check into that, like the husband
yeah,
who wants
okay.
to touch all the
it
time.
It says on your website that Chris Dunn, I didn't know Chris Dunn worked with you. Anyway, but it says Chris Dunn is there. He's like your VP of HR. Is that his title?
He's the Chief Human Resources Officer. He's a partner. So.
Yeah, okay. And it says that he was named one of the top 100 influencers in the world of HR. Don't you know that a machine makes those choices? Why didn't you include his cloud score? Come on! That's baloney.
I will be sure to add that, my friend.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to – you have a profile, you know, the mysterious profile. I don't usually get to challenge people.
I have a mysterious profile?
No, the website says these things about people, and no one ever has to challenge it except me. You've got another executive there. Last one I'll do. Michelle Hungarian, Szilag, or maybe she calls herself Szilagi.
Szilagi.
Yeah, that's not how you say it. That's not how
oh,
you
okay.
say it.
All right.
Nagy is I'm cosmopolitan, okay? Anyway, she said, this is an interesting testimony. She said after years of leading corporate recruiting functions and talking to hundreds of companies about their recruiting challenges, I knew there had to be a better way. Then I met Shannon Russo. What a compliment. What does that mean? Are you like
she
her
was,
guru?
Huh, she is a guru. That is true.
No. She met Shannon Russo. She was a seeker, and then she met you, and she knew the way, right? Come on. What is that mean? What's that about?
So here's the deal. She was not a seeker. She actually was a client. They outsourced just
their
IT. Not a
job seeker. Shannon, wake up, will ya? She said she knew there had to be a better way to recruit because all these companies were having problems, and she knew there had to be a better way. So she was a seeker in the recruiting world, not a job seeker. And
all
then
right,
she
sorry.
Met Shannon. I mean, like, it's like somebody's looking for a wife and they can't find anybody, and then they meet you and they say, wow, come on.
You're making me sound like way
about?
More than I am.
Okay, so, okay, I knew that all these things meant nothing, okay? So there we go. You don't sleep. You sleep more than me, and I wouldn't brag about it. So
I'd like to sleep
go.
More. I tend to send stuff at random times. That's why.
You know what? People, I used to have a friend who slept, he needed 10 hours of sleep a day, and I used to ridicule him, and I've educated myself since then. Some people need a lot of sleep.
Yep.
Some people we're diverse. You have to accept diversity. You just don't want to work with people who need 10 hours of sleep a day. Anyway.
Why?
Because they're not like you. That's why. Okay?
Okay.
My friend who needed 10 hours of sleep, he always buttoned his shirt button right up to the top. Nice guy.
Is there a correlation to how you
uptight.
Dress and sleep?
Yeah, there is, but I don't want to go into that. I'm not interviewing myself today, okay? Now,
all right.
You're in charge. You're the CEO of an RPO, and your website says, here's a shocker, recruitment, process, outsourcing works. and we're better at it than anyone else in the world. First of all, tell us what recruitment process outsourcing is.
So it's really taking over the entire recruitment process, end to end, start to finish. And for us, it's actually being the company in that process. Simple
okay,
enough?
Okay. So, yeah, so it's like just like taking over their IT department. You bring in your own IT manager and your own staff, and you do everything for them. Is that right?
Yep, as if we are them.
Yeah, but you also said later on in your website that you'll have an a la carte menu. If they only want partial takeover, you'll do that too, right?
We will do that. Don't like it, but we will do it.
Oh, okay, so you offer it. But you didn't say on your website that you don't like it. Is that so they walk into the spider's web, and when you got them at the table, you try to upsell them. Is
that's
that the
what it is. We're drawing
there?
People in to the trap.
Okay, as long as you admit it. Now, we're better at delivering total RPO than anyone else in the world. I mean, who wrote
hey,
that?
Hey, listen, if I didn't think that, why should I be doing this job? Correct.
Okay, well, then I'm glad you believe it. Tell me why. Now I understand. Now I understand why Michelle said, then I met Shannon Russo. She knows all. I mean, she's got it from God. She knows she's the best in the world. Go ahead. The absolute truth. Go ahead. Tell me. Why are you better than anybody else?
I think we're better because we
you know
care
what?
About
you
it.
Were more lively on the phone this morning. I told you, don't choke up. Don't
all
climb
right.
up on me, okay? I got an audience.
Don't climb up on you?
Don't clam up. Climb up.
All right.
Not
so
literally.
So focus on the process. That's really what I would tell you. Focus on the process. Look at the metrics. Break it down. So my background
yeah,
is actually finance.
Yeah, we're talking about the
finance.
Same thing. Why are you the best? Do you want to pass on that, or do you want to tell me why you know that?
Oh,
why
no, that's
you believe
a secret
it?
Sauce. I can't tell you that. I'm just kidding. So I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy. That's the secret sauce. Mike Astringer. I'm going to unleash the dogs on you, Shannon. You just
no
wait.
No worries.
But I know
so
he'll turn
things.
Into a puppy.
Couple of things.
Yeah.
You got to focus on the process. The other thing is best recruiting, in my mind, tends to be done for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part by skill set. So you don't want somebody who you've got recruiting Java developers to tomorrow be trying to recruit your VP of finance because the skill sets are different. The knowledge base is different. What they have to understand in terms of the job is completely different. Don't do that. So don't just plug somebody in and say, great, here you go, drop someone in, and that's going to be how you get it done. So that is, I'll say, part of our secret sauce is you really
okay,
got to
so
align
niche,
it with
yeah,
the skill
I've never
set.
Heard it put more. I've never heard it put more emphatically. Niche recruiting is the way to go. It's the only way to do a great job. Is that right?
It is. A great way to deliver because the
no, it's
networks
the great
that
way.
Find.
It's the only way to deliver
the only way.
Good
there you
service.
Go.
That's what you just said, right?
Niche recruiting. I wouldn't have said it that way, but I will try to get that into my repertoire.
Yeah. Okay. Now, there's somebody on LinkedIn. I got a feeling you guys wrote the endorsements for your, you know, referees. But he said, I had the opportunity to engage Shannon and her team to help my organization handle spikes in our talent acquisition, vendor management, and HR-related issues such as market compensation, career pathing, and retention. So you do a lot more than just recruiting. Am I right about that?
You are correct. We do
what
a lot
is,
more than that.
What's market compensation? Just finding out what the market's paying for a certain job?
Yes, and specifically to that client, why they were having troubles, but it was a lot more than just market pay.
Okay.
It was specific
what's career
to their...
pathing? What's career pathing?
So they had everybody in the same jobs, same job titles, even though they had multiple levels, all different pays, and the jobs were different. And so they were like, wow, people are leaving. Gee, I can't imagine why. Well, the people had no view of where they could go. Within, and this was in their technology group, had no view of where they could go because everybody had the same job title, same thing. So somebody who came in new, worked for a year or two, was like, okay, gee, what's next for me? How do I grow? How do I make more money? They had no paths that they could see
okay.
or
and
that
is,
was communicated.
Is that Chris Dunn special? That sounds like an HR responsibility. Is that his job?
He does some of that. Actually, Michelle Salegi, what did you say? How did you say her name? She actually
C-Lodge.
Did that project. She actually did that project.
It's like a D-I-E-U.
I got it.
Nudge. Nudge means big. They got that anyway. Just like we see, you know what?
But it is an HR kind of thing.
When we see French Canadians on American TV and they'll say Gagné has got the ball, it's not Gagné, it's Gagné, okay? We don't like that. It's the same with those Hungarians, okay? Now, look, okay? Now, you also say, what makes us different? We created an integrated services model that combines RPO with traditional staffing and recruiting and HR consulting. That's a mouthful. Yeah. What does it mean?
It is. So here's what it means. I'm going to give you an example on the recruiting side. So the career pathing is an example. We were doing the recruiting for them, and we were having conversations about why so many people were leaving on the other end after a year or two, got into doing the HR project for career pathing. So easy one. The other side of it is
When you say integrated services model, what does that mean? That means you do everything. Is that right? Is that
the
retention, the hiring? What?
So we don't do everything, but we do hiring. We can do HR consulting. So we do all of those things in an integrated way. So you can go from us doing the recruiting, not the same people, doing the career pathing as an example.
Mike Astringer said. Lots of RPO companies are just – I'll leave it for him, but I'll just prep people. He said they're just contract recruiters, and they're not really doing anything in a wide range of services like you are. Okay. Now, you said you save people money. You tell people they can drop their total recruiting costs faster than the value of a Pontiac Aztec after you drive it off the lot. Well, blah, 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 blah. So how can people pay less by hiring you?
Here's why. When you have a typical company that's hiring diversity of skills, they have an internal recruiting function. They might be using contract recruiters, or they have their own internal recruiters. Then they end up hiring firms on the search side, paying 20%, 25%. So their total cost of a hire includes all that, whatever they've got for job boards, their career site, whatever they're doing for testing, any of that kind of stuff. All is included in their process. You outsource your recruiting. Again, we're talking end-to-end. You can lower that dramatically. And the sad part is most people don't even know what their total cost per hire is because they don't track it. They don't include all the stuff that you should include or that I think you should include. And therefore, they don't even know where they're at. But that's not actually the hard part, and I think Mike would agree with that.
Okay, I got
because
the mic.
You're sort of double-dipping.
Does anybody want to ask a question right now?
Are the mics finally open?
Yeah, the mics are finally open.
17 minutes into it, dude. This is unheard of.
You said you're talking to your client, right? Don't tell me. You said you weren't even going to be here.
You know what? You need to quit interrupting her. That's what I got to say.
Thank you.
Who are you?
18 minutes into this, and we didn't even get to start peppering and hassling her. She was given free rein to do an entire 20-minute elevator speech.
Oh, come on. No.
It's unheard of.
Animal was given free rein to interrupt her over and over and over again.
Oh,
she didn't even get a sentence out.
I should have known.
Okay, go for it, Jerry.
I'm good. I loved everything you had to say.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You're being way too nice.
Has anybody else got something to say?
Mike.
Whenever you're ready for me.
Bring it on.
Oh, it's Mike Astringer. Go ahead. Come on.
Whenever,
come on in, buddy.
You ready for me now?
Yeah,
hey, Mike,
I'm ready.
Did you get my apology that I just tweeted to
I
you?
I did, Jerry. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I concentrate on business now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So let me start here. I hate to watch staffing firms. It's a real problem for me to watch staffing firms call themselves RPO firms because, in fact, we are a true RPO firm and can't even use
your
that terminology
firm,
anymore.
Your firm
because
is a true RPO firm. Why don't you give us the name of your firm? Why don't you give us the name of your firm?
Human Capital Consultants. Human Capital
Consultants. HumanCapitalConsultants.com. This is Mike Astringer. And is her firm a real RPO firm?
Well, I don't know yet because you've given her a free opportunity to come here and tell us about her company, and she really hasn't done so. So can you start out with that? What makes
if you're so smart,
I'm trying to, and you're cutting me off, damn it.
Shut up.
Freaking Canadians, Jesus. So tell us about your process and how you do it and how you truly outsource and what your company does. I don't really feel like you've told us any of that.
Okay. Hard to get the chance, but
And by the way, I looked at your website, and I have no idea what you do based on your website. So if you could tell us, that would be great.
Wow, you were pretty pissed off for somebody that had no idea what we did.
Everybody pissed off on this show. That's what makes it
we
good,
are all
okay?
Pissed off.
All right. Okay.
No, we're not.
So,
we're not
so anyway,
all pissed off.
You're pissed off.
Oh, yeah, Rand's not. She's got a man.
Let me address that, though. You know why I'm pissed off? I'm pissed off because for the last 7 years since I founded this company, every time I try and identify myself as an RPO firm, they've run into some clown who has totally bastardized that firm and has the totally wrong idea of what RPO is. So I'm
dude, maybe it's because
I
you're really a recruiter, Mike.
No.
Stop misclassifying yourself.
No. I agree with him, though. So there is a lot of, in my view, misnomers, and we jokingly call them FOPOs, so you'll like that, Mike. In terms of staffing is not the same as recruiting for on an outsourced basis. What you do, the role you play with the companies, and how deep you go. I mean, way down in the weeds to stuff that you guys are like, oh, who cares about that? But it matters in terms of moving things through the process and finding the bottlenecks.
Like
you know, everybody
what?
Talks about the – so all the way down to client uses ADP to do the background checks, doing education checks. Well – if you said you graduated in May and your school ended in June, guess what? ADP drops it unless they have the setting right. So then we find out that all these people are getting dropped as a bad background because their education didn't come back. Well, you have a sit down with the client. Here's, we need to change this. This is what you guys had set up when we came on board. But really, you need to actually dig into if they said their school ended in June, in May, but it actually ended in June, is that really a reason for you to bump them on a background check? You actually have to get in the weeds as to what's going on.
Okay, but you're describing ancillary
process.
Services, so let me give you a real-world example.
This is
not
in the hiring
just
process
adding ancillary
where we were having
services
trouble.
To staffing and recruiting. So I'm a 15-person startup. I just got VC funding. I reach out to you. I need to hire, in the next year, 15 developers, some marketing people, et cetera, et cetera. How are you going to engage with me?
So did you say 15? So RPO is 15 really...
developers, 10 marketing people, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, no, he's so pretending. He's got clients.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. So
don't say it's all good. That's an animal bad word, and Mike knows better than to reach out to people on this show, okay?
Okay. So, Mike, back to your question. You really shouldn't outsource your recruiting, in my view, if you're doing less than 50 to 70 hires a year, depending on the skill set, because that's just not enough volume for you to have someone doing it on an outsourced basis dedicated to you. It's not going to make financial sense for both sides, probably. So
I disagree 100%. My best client ever was a 14-person startup that I probably hired 8 people for the first year, and they were a 7-year client because we're flexible enough in our delivery model that we can adjust to those hiring needs.
Cool. It's all good. I'm just telling you what we do.
No, don't say it's all good here, okay?
It is not all good.
Okay, it's not good.
sucks.
So they're going to hire those multiple skill sets. We're going to put somebody on site that is going to sit in there, walk the halls, be one of their team, and then the rest of the recruiting is going to be done by skill set. So those developers will be done by the IT guys. So the, you know, your financial analyst and your finance ones are going to be done by the finance. If you've got customer service or admin,
yeah, okay,
or if
you know
you've
what?
Got sales.
I gotta ask you a question. Let me take charge again. We'll come back to Mike, okay? I'm getting bored. Sorry.
Sorry,
what
Mike.
Are growth? You work specifically with growth companies. Now, you just said that you don't, and contrary to Mike, you said you don't think it's worthwhile hiring an RPO, a recruitment outsourced processing mm-hmm. firm, anyway, unless you've got a huge, like 75 hires, I think you said a year. So you specifically target Mark. Okay, so you target growth companies. What's a growth company? What's a growth company?
It could be either end of the spectrum. So it could be a startup, like what Mike's talking about. So we had a company that was manufacturing, just got ventured back, needed to hire 77 people in like 9 months, from lowest level process operators up to some crazy photovoltaic type jobs. So niche-y, kind of purple squirrely jobs. That's the kind of stuff that we like to do. I'm not saying that.
The startup
that
is going to hire 70 people a year?
They hired 77 people. Yeah, they did. So they were venture backed.
Okay, but how do you pick companies like that? Aren't startups usually, like he said, 15 people or 5 people and pretty small?
Well, so a growth company could be that. Or it could be a company that's changing direction or wants to grow and it's saying, okay, we've got a new sales process. We want to hire a bunch of salespeople.
How do you identify those companies?
What?
Whose phone is buzzing, okay? How do you identify a growth company? How do you identify the right kind of company for your purposes?
You're echoing. So for us, the right kind
of
company is... Hello?
Yeah, just talk.
For us, the right kind of company is hiring under 1,000 people a year. So it could be any size. And if you're hiring 5 or 6 people, for us it feels more like search. So we'll go down to that, and we'll do it.
How do you identify your target companies? You just call any company, or do you target them by size? Like when you're doing your business development, how do you figure this is a company for me? I'm asking a straightforward, easy question.
If they are growing and they want to hire a bunch of people.
How do you know they're growing? How do you find that stuff out?
They say it. They talk about it. They do press releases on it.
Where? Oh, so is that what you guys do? Is you read press releases? How do you find your business? Is it a fair question, or is that secret sauce?
Well, it could be that. So just by the way that everybody else does it in terms of outreach.
Poker.
We're giving you
question.
What we're targeting. Huh?
Outreach.
Stop nothing and answer the question.
Who's that?
Alan.
Alan,
she is answering the question.
Wow. Alan Fuhrer, okay.
So all the different ways.
Bed,
how many
Alan.
Ways would you like? Talking to people, getting referred to them, cold calling them. I mean, how many things would you like
okay,
to tell
you? You're just like anybody else. We call a bunch of companies in an industry. You know, you're not going to call them if they've got 3 people. But you find out what's happening then. So if you're selling RPO services, what level do you approach the company at?
It depends on how you get connected to them. So we get referred sometimes from finance, sometimes from sales, operations. I mean, I'm not sure where you're headed. It depends on who the connection point is.
I'm just wondering how you sell your business. Do you do the selling or does somebody else? Does Kimberly do it?
It's a combination. So
you know, she's
going to
take that
Kimberly
off the website
some?
Now. If I mention it enough times, that's going to vamoose.
Why?
Over the top. I don't know. I don't think she'll like it. Okay. Anyway, okay, so you say here on your website, the purple squirrel does exist.
Yeah.
The purple squirrel is the perfect candidate. Cynical people say the perfect candidate doesn't exist. But we not only believe in purple squirrels, this is why she sees you as the messiah. Now I understand. We not only believe in purple squirrels, we will hunt one down for you. Give us your craziest search and we'll nail it. I don't believe that, okay?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
You
now,
don't
you
believe
give
that science
examples?
Give you – hang on. You don't believe that the first search that a client would give you would be their hardest? You don't believe that?
I don't believe I can find their hardest search.
Well, hang on.
It's a purple squirrel search.
Hey,
not necessarily.
If you're going to talk on this show, okay?
What?
What'd you say?
Get on a decent phone. Get on a decent phone. Don't wreck the show.
Yeah.
You know that already.
I am. Define purple.
Okay, go ahead.
Define
what'd you say?
Squirrel. I said
quit
define
interrupting
purple
her.
Squirrel. I mean,
we know what a purple squirrel is, Kathy.
No, I want her definition because a client.
Oh, God.
Her website said it's
the
perfect candidate. It's the perfect candidate. Look, you know, Resume Strategy is writing all over Twitter. This is why he's got to keep these guys in check. They interrupt too much. It's enough that the recruiting animal interrupts. And I don't interrupt at all illogically. I have to say it right now. Now, the perfect – so you're saying that you asked them for the hardest search and you always deliver. Is that right?
I'm saying they always give the hardest search. And you guys all in bits and pieces described the purple squirrel. Sometimes it's a good thing because it really is. Sometimes it's a bad thing because I want this perfect candidate that has this, this, and this. Oh, and they have to have a degree from this school. Oh, and I really want them to be 6'2". And then we have to have a different conversation that says, we need to push back on that. What do you really need if you had the choice of this or this? I mean, this is basic kind of blocking and tackling.
You know, you are so smart. What you do is give us your hardest. They tell you what they want, their fantasy. Then you cut them down to size and say, sure, I'll fill it. But you still pretend that it's a purple squirrel, right?
Just
instead
like
of
any
a reasonable
other contingent.
Request. Is that what you're telling
just like
me?
Just like any other contingent recruiter.
It is sometimes a purple squirrel, and sometimes it's just a hard job.
Okay. Yeah, I just want you to know, on your website, when I was reading that, I clicked on the link to the Purple Squirrel site that you sent, were going to send me to, and it was blocked by my antivirus program. Now, that might just be me, but tell your IT guy about that, okay?
All right.
Now,
I will do. Thank you.
But give us some examples of your Purple Squirrel searches, okay?
Okay. So a photovoltaic quality manager, I think I mentioned that one. So that's kind of a Purple Squirrel.
What is that?
What do you mean, what is it? What is it? So
what's
it's somebody who does...
What's a photovoltaic quality
so,
manager?
Solar cells.
Solar, for solar cells.
Okay. Okay, and so you handed that off to a recruiter who was specialized in that field?
So, no. So in addition to the skill sets, we have a couple people that we call internally Purple Squirrel Hunters because they're – so she was in the technology space, but we had to do a ton of research on that job for that client to figure out the specific quality measures they were looking for and who would have that within that space.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Any other hard searches that you're very proud of? You said you got a trophy wall full of purple squirrels. That's what you said on your website. I got to tell you, that over-the-top girl must have written that website. I wouldn't have the guts to write that, okay?
Why? It is
it's
your
little,
marketing.
It's
it is your
top.
Outreach. You're an over-the-top guy. Why would you not say that?
Okay. I rate my show as a 6 out of 10. I'm not over the top, okay?
I was just
thinking,
there's a lot of stuff about Animal that he wouldn't just say, though it is the truth.
Okay.
So,
and he's not over the
some
top?
Some stuff better left unsaid.
Okay.
Now, you've got that trophy wall.
We still have not gotten down to the bottom of what makes her an RPO. So far she's
you know what?
Described
I'm
doing
get that to you.
Contingency
you know what? I wanna
search,
put you,
and she's described placing contract recruiters.
Yeah. I'm going to let you do that near the end.
Where's
it's
placing
boring
the contract
to me.
Recruiters? Tell me where that is.
It's time for the halftime show.
Is
Andy
here?
Andy Gregory?
He doesn't come anymore. He doesn't come anymore. Okay?
Oh.
Okay, he's doing some outreach, I think.
Wait.
Listen,
I want to talk about the contract
let's
recruiters.
Move on, okay? Shannon.
Okay.
I like
yes.
your name, by the way. I like
okay.
your name.
Thank you.
What was your name before you got married? Was it Russo?
It was not Russo before I got married.
You want to tell us what it was?
Listen, you did all this other research. You're good. You can figure it out.
Inkelfiger or something like that. Okay. Okay. Now you say on the website now. First of all, I just want to point out that I've been begging you to give us. You say on your website you've got a trophy wall full of purple squirrels,
yes.
And I'm having a choke them out of you.
But
you didn't like one.
The photovoltaic. You don't like a Mandarin speaking person
in the
payment
space. You've got a trophy wall. They should just be tumbling off your tongue, okay?
Why do you care about these? Okay, I'll give them to you, but I just don't even understand why you care. So we'll do
I
a Mandarin-speaking person with payments background in San Francisco.
Mm.
That was one from
that's
last
a purple
week.
Squirrel.
How about a hotel?
Everybody in
person
San Francisco
with...
speaks Mandarin.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they have bank experience, specific bank experience.
A lot of them
one of the. Okay, great. So it's not a purple squirrel, I guess is what you're saying.
It was a yellow squirrel.
Sorry.
Right, back to his university. Sorry about that, guys.
Hey,
you
Mike, that was funny.
You say on the website, our recruiters are the best in the country.
I think they are.
Are they better than Jerry?
Nope.
I don't know that they're better than Jerry. I heard Jerry's pretty good.
I do not. I'm a B-level player at best. I've just somehow found a way to sit here in my underwear. And pay for my kids to go to private school. Anything beyond that, I'm sure anybody can beat me.
Uh-huh. How many,
now back
how,
to you.
Do you have, Shannon, do you have like a permanent team of recruiters or do you have outsourced recruiters that you hand? They you've got a network of people in a wide range of specialties and you hand stuff off to them. Because I've worked by the way.
I didn't hear the last part, I'm sorry.
PricewaterhouseCoopers.
No, it's a permanent group. I would tell you this. I don't think that you can do quality stuff with people that pop in and pop out. That is not to say that you can't do stuff on the fringe if you need help, but I don't think you can do it with just, I'll say, contract recruiters or just random people that show up.
Why not?
Because, well, here's why. If I'm a contract recruiter, I get paid for 40 hours a week. And no offense to the contract recruiters. You got a great gig. It's all good. But, I can't say it's all good. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's
but
mostly
here's
good.
The deal.
It's
when I get
good.
To the end of the 40 hours, what is my incentive to make those extra 10 phone calls to get that position filled? Or is it easier for me to say, you know what, we'll just hire a search firm to go do that work because I don't get paid anymore if I hire 50 people for you this year and I'm your contract recruiter for your corporation.
That's different.
And
I'm
supposed
about
to hire 100.
Just hold on a sec.
Okay,
you know what?
Sorry.
When I was doing that kind of work for, you know, brand name companies that, you know, they got senior level jobs with, you know, other brand name companies.
Huh?
They, you know, if I didn't work my ass off to get those guys the right people, they wouldn't hire me again. You have to prove myself. It's not like you work 9 to 5 just because you're an outsider. I don't agree with you about that at all. And in this case, I speak from my personal experience. Okay?
Well,
and I'm just starting to think that the sense
terrible.
Of reality
so not,
in Atlanta is different than the sense of reality in the rest of the country.
You know what, Shannon? You've got on your website, you've got 10 questions with Shannon. And
yeah.
It says, and here's what you say. The first thing you say, it's sad to see so many recruiters doing it stupid and wrong, okay?
Ooh, that's over the top.
I mean, I like that. That's pretty straightforward, and I have to pat you on the back for that. If you think I'm being hard on you, I think that's good. Now, I want you to justify and tell us why you think that is.
I think there's a niche. I think there are great recruiters across the board, and I think there's bad ones. I think there's lazy ones. I think there's ones that think that just posting a job and, you know, praying that people are going to come in and then passing those people without doing any screening, any vetting before sending it to a hiring manager, they think that's okay. That's who I'm talking about. I am not talking about the people that work hard. There's those too. It's a generality.
Okay. And you said, number four, you said too many HR peeps are so clueless, they don't even know what seat at the table means. Right?
Yeah.
You're real blunt. I like that.
Well,
in fact,
number two,
you said people want to hang out with me because it's so easy to seem normal and calm in comparison. Right? So if that means you're going to make these blunt, straightforward statements, I salute you. But then you also say, you know, some other stuff. But anyway, go ahead. What's wrong with the HR people? Why don't you like them?
I didn't say I didn't like them. I said that it's a shame because they're all focused on having a seat at the table when if they deliver for their business unit what those people need in all the different areas, they are going to, quote-unquote, have that seat at the table. They don't have to get a seat at the table.
Is a seat at the table an animal bad word, though?
Say what?
I was asking animal. Is that on the list or not?
That's not a bad word.
Okay. Just wanted
I'm sorry.
To...
Sorry.
No, sorry. Sorry.
You know, she also said she wrote... this is one of the books. They asked her what book she read. She said she read, "Try Not to Fuck This Up, But If You Do, Call Us" by...
Star Tin Cup.
She said it was no learning, just fun reading. Is that a put-down? Is that a backhanded compliment, Shannon, for our good friend Billy Tin Cup and... Brent Starr, or whatever his name is, Brent Starr?
Yeah, no, I love both of them.
Did you learn
it?
Something? No, I didn't ask if you loved them. I asked if you learned something from that book, or was it just funny?
It was interesting and funny. There's always good stuff that you can learn, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay, but you said you didn't learn it there. And your three songs that represent you, one of them is White Zombie?
Yeah. You got a problem with that?
Okay. Now,
what's
I don't know
that
song. More Than Human, anybody know that? More Than Human?
Wow, crickets.
Okay,
no,
anyway.
Not going to sing it.
Let's talk about the 81 Chevy. That was about the most interesting thing on the website.
The Impala.
Impala, excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're right.
Impala
Chevy.
Is a Chevy.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
A Chevy
okay,
Impala.
Anybody got a question? I'm going to take a pause. Anybody besides Mike? I'll give Mike his chance. Anybody else got a question?
I do.
Go ahead.
How long ago did you start your RPO firm, and did you have a recruiting background before you became an RPO? I mean, how did that transition occur?
So, actually, same year, I thought, as Mike, because I thought he said 2004 originally was when he started his business after he'd been doing IT staffing prior to that and sold it.
Okay. 2005,
so
actually, but yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, and mine was the end of 2004, so I was thinking it was close.
Okay.
Put three small staffing and recruiting businesses together at that time to form what is now Kinetics. Prior to that, I had been in the staffing and recruiting business with one of the very large players. I was at Spirion. I was the VP of finance. So I've been there for 10 years from when the company had, right after the company had gone public as interim. all the way through, did a bunch of the acquisitions, helped build the business, helped do the strategy for the Employment Process Solutions business, which has become their RPO business.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
so
I have you. Well, you're bragging about your quality process orientation. That's
yeah.
one of the things that makes you the best hunters in the country. What's the quality process orientation? I mean, it sounds like baffle cap to me. Tell me what it is. I'm a recruiter,
okay.
and I don't know what it means.
You do, too, know what it means. So do you,
no, I don't.
I am sure, I am sure you look at the funnel. So how many people am I talking to for this job? How many people are passing that? How many people that this manager or department are getting through the process? What is that looking like? So what does my funnel need to be from top to bottom? Where are the bottlenecks? Where are things getting tripped up? Or are we missing because there's something wrong with either what we're looking at or
I would call that process quality, not quality process. I understand
that.
Oh,
sorry. I'll flip that around for you. I apologize.
Switch the words. Okay. Anyway, you say, yeah?
I have a question when you're done.
No, you go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
Looking at her LinkedIn profile and listening to her, it appears to me that where she's coming from is she's talking mostly to the finance people and talking about the process from a numbers game. I don't know how it pans out from a recruiting perspective, but RPOs, and Mike, I'd like to hear Mike Astringer's comment because I like his model. RPOs, one of their big downfalls is you're promising them high power performance at a low price, and it just doesn't work out when you're compensating your staff. So what's your business model, and how are you a real RPO? Back to A. Stringer's question.
Is
that a long conversation? I mean, I wanna get close to the end of the show before we lose the audience. I'm going to do an ad right now, in fact. Let me do an ad, okay? My good buddy is listening to this show. His name is Greg Dergarian, and he's got a company called TempWorks.com. TempWorks.com. What they do is provide you with all the staffing software you need. Those are his key words, staffing software. And not only that, if you want to set up an IT contracting company and place contract IT people, for instance, like our good friend Jerry sitting
like
right
I
here.
Do. That's what I do.
Yes.
I do that.
Greg and TempWorks.com, they'll set you up in that business tomorrow. So,
or today.
If you're interested, go to
even
or
today.
Today
do
you
it.
Might be right about that. And I just want to mention my old friend, Chris Russell, as well, my former sponsor, JobSpeak.com. You can spell it SPEAK or SPEEK. He's so smart that he took both URLs. It's easy to get to him at JobSpeak.com. My guest today is Shannon Russo, the lovely and talented guru Shannon Russo from Kinetics HR. And
yeah.
Why did you pick that name, Kinetics? Do you want to tell us?
Sure.
Is there a story there?
Yep. So we actually, the team, sat down and talked about a bunch of different things, and Kinetics was, you know, moving things forward, right? Kinetics,
uh-huh.
energy. And
yeah.
So the team kind of coalesced around that, and then the X was really to be a little bit different and a little bit edgy. So
okay.
that's the story.
Okay, so you say to limit bias, I'm going to leave the last part of the show to Al and Mike, so I just want to get some of my questions out. To limit bias, we put all candidates through our talent DNA system. I used to work at a restaurant when I was a teenager, and that sounds like one of the names they gave to the sandwiches, right? Because they had mustard and relish and all kinds of condiments on it or something like that. The
you
talent
don't, you
DNA
really don't
system,
like marketing.
What does that mean? I don't like certain kinds of marketing. No, I don't. So tell me
so,
what
hey,
it means.
So what
okay.
is talent DNA?
Yeah.
Talent DNA is a behavioral and cognitive assessment that we use and I really like. I've taken tons and tons and tons. What I like about the talent DNA is two things. It's not built on a consulting model, so the reports are readable and you don't have to be, quote, certified to actually be able to understand them. And
uh-huh.
it's takes a relatively small amount of time, so in a half hour you can really get a good sort of baseline, but it is sort of DNA. It's a map. It's not. It doesn't say you're a purple flower
let's
and
talk,
I'm a yellow.
I want to talk about this because I've never used these things. Sometimes my clients will, you know, insist that they send the guy to a psychologist before they hire him.
Mm-hmm.
How well do those things work? Because I've had people knocked out for that reason. How do those work?
I would tell you it's all over the map. I am a big fan of assessments generally, both skill-based, so skill-based for specific stuff, and then behavioral-based for broader, you know, if you want to get to fit or places where they might kind of bump up against a wall. But it is really just data to a certain extent, right? So it's a DNA
map. You know, you're confusing me. Obviously, you're using them, so you think they're worthwhile, but you're telling me they're all over the map.
Well, generically, assessments are all over the map. So I like the mix of measuring COG and behavioral. I think it's helpful. I think it really can help you find a fit. So an example of, you know, where something might not be a fit is if you need someone that is high rules, you want them to do the same thing over and over and over and over.
Yeah, okay,
and you hire
somebody
that's
pretty low
rules.
Okay. I'm going to make my last point and give the show over to Mike for a few minutes.
Right.
I liked one thing that you're on your website. You linked to an article about caffeinated soft drinks. It had a lot of good information there. The 10 most caffeinated diet drinks. Diet Pepsi Max has 69 milligrams of caffeine. If you got to wake up, have some Diet Pepsi Max, because the regular Pepsi only has 38. 69 versus 38, that's pretty good. Then number two was Diet Sun Drop. I've never even heard of that. It's a citrus soda drink from Cadbury Schweppes. Again, 69 milligrams of caffeine in a 12-ounce can, and even the regular stuff has 63. So you really, I think that's probably a cheap way to get an energy drink, this Diet Sun Drop or the Diet Max. And you know, this Diet Mountain Dew is pretty good too, and so is Pepsi One. So I just thought that was very good information. I appreciate you putting me onto that stuff. Now, Mike Aestringer, Al Fuhrer, over to you.
I want to ask before we get into the RPO stuff, I'm just curious because I saw on your website that you call yourself a CEO, which is something that I've committed not to do until my company is the size of Deloitte, and I'm sure Jerry doesn't call himself a CEO. I'm just curious, why do you call yourself a CEO of a small company?
What's the problem with calling myself the CEO of a small company?
To me, it's just kind of an ego thing, and I think it looks a little strange. I mean, my business card says principal consultant because when I'm out meeting with a client or doing hands-on work, don't you think it seems a little odd to a client that the CEO is out on their site helping them with a strategy discussion or whatever that might be?
That's odd. It doesn't.
I think so.
Really?
I don't think it's odd.
I don't think it's odd either.
I mean, you actually have to have a title. Technically, I am the president of my company.
But does your business card say so?
No, it says recruiter.
Owner.
Jerry, do you even have
a branding? I'm just looking at my. I have no title on my card.
Anyway, I just thought it was an odd thing. But, you know, to get back to the RPO stuff, I think what you've described here, and, you know, either one or two scenarios could have taken place. Either you didn't describe what you do well, or you just truly do what I assumed you did, and that is you place contract recruiters. Now, you might hire them as full-time employees and contract them out to clients, but, you know, you've talked about walking the halls and building relationships and adding some ancillary services, but you haven't described how you're a total outsource solution. So maybe
I
should just give you an example.
We don't add ancillary services. I was giving you an example of working through the recruitment process and all the steps and down into the weeds to try to improve the process at a client.
So
I
asked you in the beginning what makes you an outsourced solution, and you never really described what makes you an outsourced solution versus a staffing firm or a recruiting firm that offers ancillary services or can place a recruiter on site. And, you know, what pisses me off about that term is companies like Manpower RPO and Kelly RPO and Adecco RPO that are basically placing contract recruiters and adding some ancillary services to that and calling themselves an RPO. And over the years, and again, I mean, I've been calling myself an RPO for 7 years now. It's just so bastardized the term that I don't even use it anymore because when you go out to a client, the chances are 50-50 that they've ran into you or Kelly or Adecco or Manpower or somebody who has given such an unoutsourced definition of that term that they don't even understand what it is.
Can I interject? What does it matter what we call ourselves? I mean, I don't really call myself anything.
Well,
I mean, I just provide the services that I provide. So what's
Jerry, it matters when you're trying to market a service. I mean, let's just say
his own.
Well, and I agree with Mike that it does matter, and I agree with him that there are a bunch of what I would call FOPOs who say they are doing end-to-end process management,
you know,
of the recruiting firm, and they
Italian
are not.
Mike has an Italian background, so when you're talking about Fulpios, I hope it's not a slur of any kind, okay?
You know, I don't disagree at all with that statement, but for me it's about running and driving the process, not slinging candidates in. That is sort of a staffing provider, or doing, you know, bulk search purchases, right? I'm going to buy 3 searches. Those are all great. You can do it. It's all good. That's not outsourced recruiting. Not the same thing.
So when
so
I say
I agree
outsourced
with
recruiting, we're going into a potential client, and we are either that client is paying contingency fees and they don't want to do that anymore,
yep,
for a variety of reasons. It's not working out for them, or they're a startup and they need to implement. But we are building an entire internal recruiting process for them, and we're doing that on an outsourced basis. So we have email addresses, we have phone extensions, we,
yep,
are representing themselves. But we're doing it as a full outsourced process. We are their recruiting firm, and later on as they grow, if they're a startup, their HR department, on an outsourced basis. But I've asked you like a dozen
times
to describe how you roll that out.
That's the same thing.
You've never
said
it the way
that I agree with her. I don't know why you're picking on this girl.
Really?
She said from the start,
she's doing exactly
what
you're doing.
Okay?
You're talking about the same thing, except I will say that we wouldn't say that you could outsource your HR department to us. I would never say that. That's not what we do. I can give you some consulting in HR. I'm not an HR provider. I don't do benefits. I don't do payroll. Maybe you do. I don't do that. I do talent acquisition. I do HR consulting, can help you with some of your talent issues. Don't do HRO. So that's the only other difference that I would say from what you
described.
I guess
I'm going to have to go back and listen to the show, Animal, because I tried to listen. I tried to listen for exactly what I just said, and I never heard it.
I guess you missed it, because I got it, and I don't usually get anything. Now, look, in the last few minutes of the show, you have some tips for recruiters on, you know, great things that they're doing. You know, everybody's doing wrong, but you know how to do well, like, call, you know, your cold call, that's always a favorite. How do you develop people? You brag in your website that, you know, the people you recruit are not usually looking for jobs, but you know how to dislodge them. Do you have some recruiting, you know, nitty-gritty tips for us?
I don't know that they're nitty-gritty tips. They're probably same kind of stuff, which is recruiting really is a sales function. You know, everybody tries to say it's an HR function, but it's not, because when you're recruiting for a company, you are selling the vision and the story of that company. So get a good understanding of the good and the bad of that, because, by the way, it's not going to be all roses and wonderful stuff. And understand what those things are and what the fit is, so that you can talk to somebody in the real world about, here's the good and the bad. Here's what the environment
example,
is like.
Example. I don't do what you say, okay? I want to know how to do that.
Come on. What do you mean you don't do what you say? So let me give you a client example. Tough environment. They just got bought 12 months ago by a private equity firm, blew out all the offices. If you want an office and privacy, don't come here. But if you want an opportunity, one of their 5 values is meritocracy, and here's how they deal with it. Meritocratic is actually the word. I didn't even know that was a word, but that's their word. And how they say is, we're going to pay you a lot of money on a bonus basis. You're going to be bonus quarterly. But get ready, because we're going to be rough. We're going to jump on you. We're going to give you lots of responsibility. And you have to either sink or swim. That's our motto.
Okay, when you approach somebody with a job like that, how do you approach that? Right? You say, hi, you know, I've got a job where they're going to beat the hell out of you.
Well,
you're going to make money there?
Anybody.
Like, how do you
but
do it?
But here's the deal. Let me let you talk to, if you'd like to, or let me share with you some information from some of the people that have not wanted to go to other big companies because they know that it's going to take them 10 years to get to the top. And let me talk to you about this lady who now, 3 years in, is a director because she kicked butt and took names and jumped on doing the right thing. So if you're okay with that, you can get a lot more responsibility and get a lot more, you know, different steps in your job than you can at another big company. So
no, Shannon, I don't think that's for me. I like to have my own office, and I don't like people jumping all over me and treating me like garbage, like a slave, okay? I don't care how much
they
pay me.
Well, then you're probably not a good fit for this company. I really appreciate it.
But
you have some friends.
So you're saying that you're doing a sales job, but when the guy raises an objection, you say he's not qualified for this job. You just, you know, walk away. Is that what you're telling me now?
Not telling you that. Depends on the situation. If you say you can't handle that, you're not going to. It's not going to be a good fit for you either.
Okay, so then you move to the referral mode.
Everyone is not a fit, right? Move to the referral. Yep, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, I want to hear your referral. How do you get referrals?
So it might not be a good fit for you, but I'm sure you know some people who that's right up their alley. Can we talk about a couple of those people, and can I reach out to them?
And they,
reach
you
out.
Know, I don't like giving out any names.
All right, how about I send you some information, you can forward it on to them.
And what do you do after? Do you follow up?
Absolutely.
What do you do? How do you handle that?
Put them back in the queue, reach back out, wanted to see how
no,
things
I
are going.
No, I
want to
hear the words. We need words.
Oh,
we need a model.
Gosh.
I'm not talking
oh,
in generalities.
Oh, you need words.
Okay?
All right, animal's the one that needs these.
Yeah,
yeah.
Animal needs this. So train
like
animal. Go ahead,
animal.
Just train
him.
Train animal. Can he be trained?
No.
You know what?
You know how to do
the
referral.
Don't use the chit-chat. Shannon, don't use the chit-chat to avoid answering me, okay?
Sorry.
I want to know what you say to somebody
oh,
when
goodness.
You follow up. You know, you say, I'm going to send you this info, pass it on to your friends, and then
yep.
you follow up a week later. What do you say to the guy? I want to know how you pull this stuff out of resistant people. What a salesperson says is important. Don't tell me it isn't, okay? So
it
I want to
important.
Know what you say.
Hey, just checking in. I know we talked 2 weeks ago about this opportunity. I know you were going to pass it on to a couple of your friends. Was there any interest? Can I talk to any of them? Do you want me to reach out?
No.
Well, you know, I don't know. I find people
right.
much. I find people are resistant. Maybe they just don't like me, but that doesn't really work.
Well, if you're screaming at them and interrupting them, they're not going to help you.
Yeah, what's the point of hammering these people, animal? I mean, you ask if they know anybody.
Look,
move
if you're
on,
looking for
man.
A purple squirrel, if you're looking for a purple squirrel, you can't walk away
oh, yeah.
easily. Oh, really?
You
this
can't
your
beat
kind of
a
job,
dead horse,
it.
Though, either.
That's why you don't take
somebody,
your purple squirrel jobs anyway.
And they're used
if
to you offering a different
reach. If somebody doesn't want to work there, if they can't work in the environment, why would you do that anyway?
Oh, okay, you know what? You've got to bring in people who don't want to take the job at the first offer, and you got to wring those referrals out of them as well.
You
just can't, especially if you're giving yourself these hardest jobs in the world to get.
But
you got to
piss them off.
People.
If you piss them off, they are not going to give you the referrals. They are not going to do that. So you
okay, you can't
you
just
can
walk
be
away.
Politely persistent.
Oh, you know what?
I got to
tell
off.
You
it's
something.
It's called relationship
from,
building
Greg
animal. It's that thing you don't like.
Listen, let me finish, okay? Greg Dergarian from TempWorks.com thinks you have a beautiful voice. He said it's mellifluous. You know, I'm not able to talk anymore. So, you know, maybe because you're so mellifluous that you can just get on the phone with these guys and get them to do what you want, but they don't do it for me. Shannon Russo, I loved having you as my guest today. You're welcome back anytime. But now we're going to go to the after show. You're not welcome there. And
all
neither
right.
am I. Jerry, are you ready? Thank you, Shannon.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Jerry.
Have you been deputized to somehow clear the range of all fake RPOs?
Fopios, as it were.
Fopios.
You know, I mean, certainly you can make a joke out of that, but I'm being completely serious when I say any salesperson that's selling any product or service within any vertical is obviously going to be upset when they watch what their product or service is called spend years getting bastardized. And you know, this is not a criticism of you, but you're not in my space. And, you know, you go out to call on a potential new client, and they've met with a Manpower or an Adecco or one of these staffing firms that are calling themselves RPO, and you're not just starting from zero explaining the service that you offer. You're starting from minus 50 explaining the service that you offer because you have to undo what they've already been told and then sort of explain to them how it works. And the fact of the matter is, Animal can say that she describes her business to be similar to mine, but she describes her business as being a recruiting firm that offers some ancillary consulting services and will
no.
place
the
equivalent of a contract recruiter on a client site.
Exactly what you described.
I would have thought she was describing an RPO.
Yeah,
but
to me
maybe,
too.
Maybe none of us
and,
really know what an RPO is, but you do.
And, Mike, if you're in a competitive space anytime you go and try and get business from somebody that's your competitor, you're going to have to start from scratch because they're not going to do exactly what you do. They're not going to provide the level of service that you provide if you indeed provide a better service. We, at my company, we run into it all the time. All the time that we have to go back in with the client and say, look, we know you didn't get this level of service before, but this is what we're offering. That's how it is in any business, not just in RPO.
It's not just a level of service, but I won't even use the guest as an example. I use, like, Kelly or Manpower as an example who's placing a contract recruiter and calling it an RPO. Now, listen, I place contract recruiters too, and that's fine. I have no problem with that business. That's the bread and butter of my business. But at the same time, I don't call that an RPO. I call it very simply, I'm providing you a contract recruiter. So it's a sensitive subject to me.
But that's part of the service you offer. That's may
isn't
not
that
be the only
biggest
what you offer.
Part of the service, though? I mean,
that's part of the service you offer.
Isn't staffing, isn't RPO recruitment process outsourcing?
Outsourcing.
Meaning our recruiter is going to be there. So really, what is RPO that I'm missing?
Not always there. We don't always provide services 100% completely on site. But it's a matter of taking on every piece of it. It's building the infrastructure. It's building the sourcing strategies. It's, you know, working with the internal team to build interview processes and all of that. I mean, it's soup to nuts. It's a company handing you their entire recruiting process and saying, we're trusting you to handle this function for us. And I was trying to get her to say that, and she – in my opinion, never said it.
She did in the end. When you described what you do, she said, that's exactly
what
I do.
Oh, then she said, oh, yeah, I do that too.
So,
but 10 times before that, I tried to get her to say that, and she didn't say it.
All right, well, let's
and
get
again,
to the scores
maybe
here
I'm
real
oversensitive
quick.
Because... but, you know, there are a handful of companies who, in my opinion, do this right, and there are many, many more companies that do it wrong. And like I said, from my perspective, I don't care what you do for a living, but don't try and do it under another auspice. Don't, you know, like, you know, Jerry, you're a contingency recruiter. Don't go out and saying that, you know, you're whatever, you know, a Brad Pitt, you're an actor. I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it just pisses me off when I go out to a client and they've met someone like this and have a completely wrong understanding of what RPO is. And again, you're
it
not starting from zero explaining your services.
Business. Mike, that's exactly what you have to deal with in competitive business.
Is your disdain for her ability to describe what she does going to be reflected in your score?
Yes. And I'll say one other thing, too. I think her website is an embarrassment to our industry. You know what? If you want to be a serious business person, be a serious business person. You know, I may come on here and screw around and whatever, but
yeah.
You know, everything else that is represented with my name, I try and present myself as a professional business person.
But that's how you present yourself.
Joke.
And maybe she wants to attract the kind of clients that are attracted to her website.
I think it's a bit over the top.
A client that would
myself.
Like her is not going to like you. That's how capitalism works. We can all go out and get our own clients.
And that's all well and good, but unfortunately,
no, but
I
think,
with someone like that.
I think you need to start off, though, Rayanne, in a broad fashion and allow your process and service to let you determine whether you want to do that business rather than starting off with a very narrow door hoping that anybody that would consider doing business with you is open to that.
I thought she said she started in 2004. That's not just starting off. So she's probably
I didn't say just starting your business. I'm saying any client relationship. If at first impression, if it's, hey, this is who we are, and we're this wacky, over-the-top, crazy stuff, I think you're not leaving the decision on your desk.
I agree.
You're leaving it out there.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but if we look back in the conversation that she had with Animal, she could not describe how she found new clients. So I'm guessing it's referral. That's how she's getting clients. She's getting referred.
You know, I couldn't describe how I find new clients either. Sometimes he asks questions that make it seem like there's one definitive answer.
Right.
I mean, you just stay aware of what's happening in your world. Sometimes you call somebody. Sometimes you call somebody that knows that guy. Sometimes
right.
they find you. Sometimes
sure,
you bump into a guy at church. I don't know.
She's successful, and so who are we to argue with what's working for her and what's not working for her?
Do we know that she's successful?
Do we have proof of that?
Wait, Maureen wasn't here to ask the money question, so nobody knows. Nobody asked if she's successful. Apparently she is. She's
we can assume she is. She sounded sharp. sounded like somebody who knew what she was doing.
Too, but that doesn't mean I'm successful. It just means I've been able to put food on the table, or it means that my wife has a job.
I think in
that
day, this day and age, getting food on the table is successful. So, anyway, let's move on to scores. Do it.
All right. Do it, Rayanne.
Do it. I'll go first. First off, I think RPO
should get in. Can I
just
say before she gives her scores that I'll have to reiterate what I said 2 weeks ago. I really thought you'd be a happier person when you got engaged.
I don't know if you know, but my persona here on this show is called Hit Girl. That's not going to change because I am
bitchy woman.
I will always be Hit Girl, And that is a persona.
Is
so
it just the three of us here?
Hello?
I think it's just us.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think everybody bailed. They couldn't hang with the ambiguity. There wasn't enough controversy. It was too ambiguous.
Well, there may be people listening. So for those of you that are listening, thanks for hanging around. RPO should stand for Radio Process Outsourcing, and I think that Animal, it's time for him to employ an RPO because his tactics of interviewing, and I love you dearly, Michael, but Animal has got to give guests at least 1 second to respond before he jumps in and interrupts. It's just, it's getting worse and worse, and it's almost unbearable. He had a great guest today that had a lot to say, and every time she started to talk, he was talking over her. He didn't even hear her responding, and she
was
responding.
I am starting to sense, Rayanne, that you know Shannon outside of our small little
I have never met Shannon. I have never met her. I don't know her.
Would you swear to that?
I would swear to that. I promise I've never met her.
Okay.
I don't even follow her on Twitter.
Don't even follow her on Twitter?
I wanted to hear what she had to say, and every time she started to answer, he kept interrupting.
Are you guys
going to
start doing some RPO stuff, too?
No. No. Absolutely
anybody
not.
Can do it. I mean, it's
we work with
RPO.
Broadbean partners
getting
with
in the weeds a little
time.
Bit. And you're
no,
an RPO?
We are a technology company. That's all we do.
All right. And so what is your score then?
Core competency is tech. My score for Animal is going to be low because of his interrupting factor. So it's going to be a 67.
Mm-hmm.
For Shannon, I'm going to give her a 78. Mm. I think that she had a lot to say and didn't get a chance to say it. And so because she didn't just say, hey, let me answer, her score dropped. Because if you're strong CEO
running your own
company, you got to be strong even with Animal. You got to push back. So,
Rhea, do you see what Animal's putting on Twitter right now?
No. I'm not following
Truth.
You. I'm listening to the show.
Truth. Rhea is mad because her boss choked when he was on the show. Not my fault.
That is. He didn't choke. Again, it was Animal's crazy tactics. Hire an RPO, Animal. Radio Process Outsourcing, do it, please.
A. Stringer, the RPO guy, the real RPO guy.
The real RPO.
A couple of scores
here. Let me say a couple of things. First of all, this is my first week calling in that Animal has his new format of talking for the first 15 minutes before
I don't like
the phone line. I do.
Really?
I do. You know what? Because too often we all jump over him. Somehow we're louder than him, and when we jump over him, and he never gets a point out. So I like that new format. When it comes to Animal letting people talk and not talk, I think he has this strange habit of letting people who have absolutely nothing to say ramble on, and somebody that has something to say, he cuts them off right away. And I say this week after week, and I never quite understand it. So that's that. Overall, I'm going to give him a 75 because I think he chose what could potentially have been a good guest, even though, in my opinion, she didn't turn out that way. I'm going to give the guest a 50 because I think that despite the fact that I don't like the way she presents her and her business model, I think she was given ample opportunity to explain what that was, as well as explain her sales process and some other things, and she just couldn't get it out.
Isn't it perhaps, though, Mike, that some of these business models, you really have to be ambiguous?
You know what, Jerry? I'm an open book. And at the end of the day, I think there's enough business out there for all of us. And if you want to steal my patented business model, joke, it's not patented.
Right.
If you want to steal my patented business model and go out there and market that and do a better job than I did, then shame on me.
Think about where you were when you first started in this business. I was really new to recruiting, and my boss made it sound like he was the only, it's like religion. He was the only guy that was doing it right. He was the only true recruiter, right? So
well,
I think
well,
we all come to a place.
I think our business by design is that way. Too often, instead of us working together, we want to keep secrets and hide from each other and, you know,
right.
F that guy.
Oh, that's how,
you know,
exactly how it was.
I wish
it was
that
horrible.
We were more of a collaborative industry than what
I
we
agree.
Are.
And I think that social media has allowed that to happen a little bit.
I agree.
Like, just going back to the beginning, it was I was not even allowed to talk to other recruiters, right? My boss was so strict, don't you dare share who our clients are or how we do our process. And
oh,
it was,
we couldn't
it was
even,
horrifying.
We couldn't even be seen talking to another recruiter.
Yeah.
Or ever go
thing.
To any kind of a lunch or anything.
Hey, yeah,
Animal,
same exact thing.
Animal thinks that I just said that you have to be ambiguous when you define your business. That shows that he wasn't listening.
I was listening. And
resume,
I was listening, and there's only three of you there.
No,
I'm going to cut in.
Hey, I'm here too, Animal.
I gotta
I'm
tell
here
you,
too.
I got to tell you something, okay? I don't cut the people off if what they're saying is interesting. When they start to babble
no,
and it's putting me
you didn't
to
even
sleep,
give them...
I cut them off. Yes,
Animal,
I do.
Animal,
and I have
no,
every
you don't.
Right to do
Animal.
So.
Animal. Go back and listen to the tape. She was answering, and you stepped on her. She
you
didn't get
really,
an example,
dear.
I don't think
too.
He did.
You
he really let her talk.
You're wrong.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Give
there were several
example.
Times when he didn't.
Give me an
go
example.
Go back and listen to it. The first three
no,
questions
let's
you asked
to
her.
It together, and you point it out to me.
No.
Hey, I got a
why
question
are you yelling
for,
at
I got a
me?
Question for
I
Mike
just,
A. Stringer.
Hey, who's asking the question?
Hey, Greg DeGarian, Minneapolis.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. Gang. Hey,
big
Mike.
Sponsor
50,
of the show.
50 is the lowest score I think I've ever heard anyone give out. I could be wrong, but.
You're wrong.
Yeah, but it's about the website. I'm looking at her website. I like it. I like the colors. You know, we design websites here. It's all current. She has the latest blog post. I'd look at this and I'd say, this is a very engaged business person. I think I might do give her a try.
Wow.
You know what? It
okay,
wasn't about her
feedback.
Website. It was about. If, it's not about our website. It's about if somebody asks me what I do for a living, I'm going to be able to clearly define what I do for a living and what my company does. I don't feel like she did that.
No, she didn't. You're right.
Greg, would you like to
and
offer your scores in to balance
Animal.
It out here?
Well, I don't know what the truth is about the Animal interrupting issue, but he does seem to jump in. And mm-hmm. I think I do love listening to him at the beginning, so I just as soon he get out his spiel because it's fun to listen to. And then, yeah, be more wise
receptive.
In deciding when to jump in offhand. Mm-hmm. I'd share that complaint.
Can you pick one point where I interrupted and you didn't get
every
the point?
Question you asked her. Every question
yeah, because
you
she answers it first. They answer first, and then they go into some blah, blah, blah.
She didn't even
mean
anything.
Ran, I have to say, you seem particularly defensive about someone you
point.
Do not know.
I don't think she is. No, I don't think she
oh
is. Okay, give her a break on that.
Listen, Animal, what
I'll
you
give
do is
anybody
good.
A break if I want to.
What
or
Animal
you
does
give
is
me a
good.
Break
a lot
now.
Of those shows out there that I listen
okay.
to, that they don't interrupt. And interrupt, you got to keep it interesting, and he does that. But sometimes
thank you
overstep.
That's true.
Thank you.
You do.
So what are your scores,
Greg? Yellow squirrel, Jerry.
1 to 100.
That was funny. The yellow squirrel was funny.
Hey, I got to tell you something funny. Right now, they're doing drive-through HR. The two guys couldn't come on. They're out of town, so they had the one crystal host a show for them. Mike was supposed to be the guest, Mike Raymer, and he canceled.
Oh, my God.
Mike Raymer.
Because it wasn't
horrible.
The real guys. Because it wasn't the real guys. So Craig Fisher came on instead.
That's so Mike Raymer wouldn't go on the show because it wasn't really Brian Wimpen?
Yeah.
Wasn't really Brian or William. Wow.
Wow. Come on, Mike Raymer. That's absurd.
That is absurd, Mike. But
wow.
You
know what?
You will
I
say that this is
that
typical
show.
For Raymer, right? Typical.
He's got standards. Mike has standards. You can't say he doesn't, okay? He
all
wants
right.
to know
what? I never listened to that show
line
before.
Of person.
I never
Mike,
listened to that show before I was a guest.
Yeah.
I never listened to that show before I was a guest, and I think it's one of the most boring shows out there, but I got to say, it was pretty damn fun to be on.
Yeah, it was fun to be on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you realize it's just the two guys and you talking, and maybe somebody will listen to it sometime. Yeah. Take a little perspective on it. But no, those guys are good.
On your website.
Hey, Greg Degarian.
Scores, 85-85.
Wow.
Nice.
Come on. You can do better than that. Down.
Nope.
Take them down.
What, Animal, why are you trying to creep all over my show here?
You know what? Because I want you to know what it's like when you creep all
over
mine.
Oh, please.
Really?
Yeah.
No, sorry. Nothing.
Okay,
nothing similar.
I'm on your show.
I'm going to give her a 75, and I thought Animal did a pretty good job today. I'm going to give him an 82.
Oh, Lord.
He did a pretty good job today.
Go back and listen.
Hey, Jerry.
Go back and listen.
I never listen to any of this crap once we're done with it. Ever.
Hey, can you hear me, Jerry?
Yeah, who's on the line?
It's Andy. What's up?
Andy?
Yeah, dude.
How come you weren't here for the halftime show?
Steel Panther. How you doing, buddy?
Steel Panther, man. Just like Tiger Woods, man.
I've got a tip for everybody that can appreciate adult humor in rock and roll. On Spotify, check out some Steel Panther.
Andy called me yesterday and told me that I needed to listen to it, so I've got to do it.
I can't believe it.
Do not listen
to it if you're offended in any way by any type of sexual innuendo.
Oh,
I am.
Well.
It's not even innuendo, frankly. But it's hilarious.
Wait, did A Stringer just said he was offended by sexual innuendo? Really?
I think he said he's not.
No, I said I am.
He said he was.
Mike, do you listen to Spotify?
Because, Jerry, you have become a positive influence on me, so I don't use that kind of language or innuendo anymore.
Excellent. Okay, Andy, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, no, I heard a part of it earlier. I was on my way to a meeting, and then I thought I'd just call in. I can't believe you guys are still on, so it was kind of nice.
That's pretty big show.
Who was the guest? I was here when she was talking about how she had the best recruiters in the country and all that.
Shannon with Kinetics. HR.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And yeah, I agree with Greg Degarian. I get them confused with Kinexa.
Connects is.
Yeah, do you think that might be on purpose,
yes.
Jerry?
They're glad you do.
Okay.
No. Okay, so Andy, you don't have a score, so.
I really don't. By the way, I did get your mail. I appreciate it, and I thank you.
Can you hold on to that about 5 days for me?
Yeah, I can hold it up.
I just want to put this behind us, Andy.
You need to be on the show to provide the halftime. We really needed your halftime.
No, I know.
I
will be back starting next Wednesday.
You signed a contract, Andy.
Yeah, Andy. I apologize.
Okay, anybody else with a score? Anybody? Alan?
I don't think he's on.
He was. I thought he was.
He was earlier, but I don't think he's on now.
Okay, super. Okay, everybody, I'm going to try to get into the RPO game. Sounds like something I might dabble around on this afternoon.
Just don't tell Mike.
You know,
okay?
my only experience of late with an RPO, I had I don't want to say a great client, but a company that two or three times a year, if they had something specific, they knew that I knew the company and their products, the HR people and the managers. I did a good job. An RPO called and said, hey, you know, we've taken over. We're now streamlining their process.
Yeah.
And so they had said that you're one of their favorite recruiters. You bring value. You're a good synergist, blah, blah, blah. So we'll be sending you a new fee agreement at a 25% less fee.
Is that the folks up there that I know about?
Let's not. I don't want to name names.
No way.
Yeah, so
seriously?
Yeah, haven't heard from him since.
Oh,
can I address that?
Yeah.
So oftentimes when we're brought into a gig, and Jerry, I'm sorry, you're not going to like this answer, but you know, oftentimes when we're brought into a company, it's because they've been paying contingency fees.
Oh, sure.
And they've been paying a lot of money in contingency fees. One quick example that comes to mind, I mean, this company was probably paying $4,000 to $6,000 consistently every year in contingency fees, and they had about a 35% retention rate on the candidates that they brought in through recruiting firms.
How much were they paying each year?
Yeah, what was that?
$4,000 to $6,000 a year?
$400,000 to $600,000 a year. They were
okay. You left out the hundred part.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get in quick. I'm used to Animal cutting me off.
Yeah.
So and again, about a 35% retention rate on the candidates that they were bringing in through recruiting firms.
Oh.
So one of the things that we were brought in to do for them was, and they had different fee agreements with everybody and different guarantee terms.
Sure.
And like every department head was signing a contract with their favorite recruiting firm. So one of the things that we were brought in to do was to fix all of that over time, eliminate the use of contingency recruitment firms, but in the front end, get all that under control, consistent fee agreements, consistent guarantee periods, put together a vendor list so we're working with like 5 firms instead of 100.
No, I can dig that, sure.
So oftentimes my point being is that that's what part of what the RPO has brought in to do is sort of bring all that under control. And Jerry, I'll just tell you, one of the recruiting firms that this company was dealing with made the department head sign an agreement, which the department had signed, and I couldn't believe it, that said they were the exclusive recruiting firm for that department, and it spelled out in the agreement that any candidate that came in for a job in that department, including spelled out if they applied through the website or were an employee referral,
wow,
had to go to this recruiting firm, and they were to be paid a fee for them, and the department had signed that contract. So,
wow,
you know, oftentimes you hear me have a little bit of desertion for recruiting firms, and frankly, that's why, because those are the types of things,
yeah,
that I see all the time.
That's terrible, man. That's ridiculous.
That is terrible. That's the Herb Tarlix in the world right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. It's an amazingly warm day here in the Hoosier State.
It's 71 right now. It's 71
here. No way.
Here. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's less here. It's only like in the 50s today.
Wow.
It's 44
in California.
Today, raining.
Yeah, it's one of those early in the spring days where you look around the yard and you look at how much just junk and trash has been blown around and stuck in the weeds and stuff and hiding in behind the buildings and stuff.
How much does my life suck? It's 44 and raining here, and I'm sitting here working.
Ooh,
my wife's
no fun.
In Florida, in Miami, with two of her girlfriends,
oh,
and it's, you know, like 80 degrees and sunny. And
why don't
by the way,
you
the only
post it on Facebook that you're bummed out and disappointed?
I'm pretty pissed off, actually, because Miami's my favorite place. I go there 6 times a year.
Dude, just
go
down there, man.
Together.
Yeah, go down
what?
There for the weekend.
Have one of your other recruiters do your job in there for the week.
You know what, Jerry? When you're the BNIC, you got to be here.
Come on, man. Outsource it, homie. Go on vacation. Life's too short. Hey,
Jerry, you want to come in and manage this for me?
Sure. I'll get in the weeds on it.
Oh, jeez.
That's all they do.
Yeah, that was interesting. She said that exact phrase 4 times.
Yep.
I counted.
I know it.
Down in the weeds.
Well, have a great
well,
you
if you want
to use her terminology, Jerry, you can
times.
Come in and...
That's what I cut off, okay?
No, oh, Animal, you didn't cut it off because I heard her say
hey,
it 4 times.
Animal just hanging
yeah,
out in the background
I
trying
hear
to defend
that
himself.
Kind of stuff,
we've moved.
When
hey,
I hear
we've...
that kind of stuff, I say, got to get in there. Cut it off.
Animal, stop we've lurking in
the
after show.
We moved into the after show lounge.
Who's this loud guy that won't shut the hell up?
He's
you know
been,
what, Andy?
He's been overserved.
You tell Jerry, Jerry's always all over me on my show. How come I can't be all over these guys?
Oh
it's 2:30 a.m. at the club, and it's time for this guy to be shown the door.
I need a crown and 7, right?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
They don't like the way I talk, and they complain. My show's a bunch of schlock. They criticize about me endlessly. Nobody knows how they got stuck with me. And they complain about the hat I wear, and they explain
there's other shows out there, and then they whine, my show makes too much noise, and then they say, I shout at all the guys, yeah, whoa, little darling,
okay,
no matter
Marcus,
what
I'm
I do,
to you.
Oh, yes, you know it's true, ain't good enough for you.